clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Tonight I'm joined by Grant Russell and Craig Holmes to look back on the opening day fixture at Easter Road. We'll discuss Grant's time at Fir Park so far since the last time we caught up with him. We'll preview the fixture against Hamilton Accies at Fir Park on Saturday. And we'll see what else takes a fancy over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Guys, welcome along.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, Craig, I'll start with yourself. An opening day defeat yesterday against Hibs. Our heaviest opening day defeat since 2003, a 3-0 defeat. It was always going to be a hard task, there's no doubt about that, but to go down as emphatically as we did, quite disappointing.
Absolutely. I think you look at the Hibs tie on Thursday night, fantastic result for them, but I watched the final 20 minutes, half an hour of it, they were clearly tired. And you obviously look at it and you think, we'll maybe take advantage of that. I can see what the manager was trying. He was trying to keep it tight for a certain period of time and hopefully catch them late on when the tiredness kicked in. I think the tiredness did kick in for Hibs. Unfortunately, we were 3-0 down at the time, just due to a bit of poor defending, poor decision making, you know. But you go to Hibs away, you don't expect anything. But like I say, on the basis of the European tie, you were kind of hoping for something on the back of it, but it wasn't to be. I think there wasn't too many positives coming from it. I think if you want to look at positives in effect, you try and think of what didn't work and you take that on board and you learn from that. But I think we try and dust ourselves off and get a big game on Saturday to look forward to and we can try and get our season underway then.
And I know when defeats happen, Grant, you look for positives and then you roll out the cliches as well, but you don't want to lose a goal in half time. We did that, we had kept it tight and we were well organised the first half an hour.
Yeah.
You lose a goal at the wrong times, yeah. A wee bit of luck doesn't go your way as well.
Yeah, putting the hat on of a supporter, I mean, it was a game plan that was being perfectly executed to kind of keep them at bay, and then you get a decision against you, whatever your opinion on it, and then you're confronted with a free kick specialist 20 yards from goal, and you know, it's then trying to recover that situation. But what I will say, we went there with a lot of injuries, remember? You know, obviously Charles Dunn, Craig Tanner's long term, Ryan Bowman as well. Losing Cedric on Friday, obviously, it has an impact. Alan Campbell missing from the middle of the park as well. Even not being able to bring in Barry Maguire into defence as well. You know, all these kind of things can add up. But yeah, I think the manager summed it up best after the game. It's one match. And, you know, you take some positives, you see some things you can work on. It's very easy to pick yourself up for a game on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And one positive as well, Craig, was Danny Johnson coming off the bench and certainly looked very mobile, very strong. Should have had a goal, strangely chopped off.
Yeah.
Plus, at a time where it wasn't too significant. But again, that'll give Danny Johnson a bit of confidence going forward.
Yeah, he seems to have scored goals, certainly in, obviously, the conference in England, though we've had success before. But yeah, he was certainly one of the bright sparks of yesterday, of the game. I think you saw him against Clyde as well the previous week. He's come on, he's provided that energy, that spark. You know, you've got the two big guys up front that have started both the last two games, maybe haven't quite clicked together, which may come over the line. But I think Danny Johnson's a very good option to have. Personally, from what I've seen of him so far, I think if you give him a chance with one of the bigger guys, I think they could work together. Obviously, that's the manager's choice, but certainly it's positive. One of the few positives anyway from yesterday. I think Danny Johnson's come on, put himself about and certainly put himself a really good chance of starting on this Saturday.
And you've already touched on it, the injury problems. There's money there now, or you'd think there'd be a portion of the Cedric Kiprie transfer fee. Is Stephen Robinson looking to enhance his squad? It looks like we are short due to circumstances beyond our control.
Yeah, I mean, the manager's already spoken. I mean, clearly replacing Cedric's the priority, and any money that's freed up by Cedric going, you know, is obviously there for a replacement. But you know, it's going to be difficult to replace a player like Cedric, but we have a head of recruitment in Martin Foyle and the manager himself and the coaching team here with plenty of contacts in Scotland, down south, even abroad, that even though it's such a finite market, and we're also battling against, whether you think it's positive or negative, the English market closing on Thursday this week as well. So, you know, finding a replacement for Cedric Kiprie will obviously be a challenge, but you know, it's one that we've, you know, proven time and again we're capable of replacing players. You need only look back to January and Louis Moult, and you know, I guess I was only 2-3 months at the time here, but you know, certainly the noises from outside were of despair, and perhaps rightly so. And then Curtis Main comes in, and suddenly all is forgotten, and we're in another cup final. So you know, the expertise is there to replace Cedric.
And it's a massive loss, there's no doubt about that. A player that came in as a trialist, I don't think he was even a first pick amongst the trialists initially. And then he goes on to have an unreal season, incredible talent. There's so much raw potential there that could see him go elsewhere again for a significant sum of money. Kind of wish him all the best, but it's always disappointing to lose one of your key men.
Always is, but as Grant said, you know, we lost Louis Moult, people were kind of, like you say, despair about that one. But you know, we can go out there and find another guy, and it's how it is. We lost Ben Hennigan last year. We brought in guys like, you know, Peter Hartley and Cedric Kiepe as well. But it's just fantastic, you know, use of the model, as Alan Burrows like to say, the model we have to bring these guys in to give them the opportunity, to give them the shop window. Effectively, we can't pay these guys the money that they were looking for, and it's about exposing these guys to the Scottish League. You know, put them on TV, put them in the papers, etc. And that's got these guys like Cedric Kiepe, like Ben Hennigan, like Louis Moult, the big move that they were looking for in the first place. So it's only a positive as far as I'm saying. We get a good year out of Cedric, an excellent player. It'd be difficult to replace to his level, but you know, we've got the guys with the skills that can maybe go out there and find the next Cedric Kiepe or Ben Hennigan. So I'm confident we can find somebody who can come in and replace him.
Yeah, it's another shining example. You mentioned Ben Hennigan, we mentioned Louis Moult, we mentioned Cedric Kiepe. Now, you know, there's guys down south who have the opportunity to come up here and, you know, might be a bit hesitant for several reasons, whether it's the perception of Scottish football wrongly outside of this country, whether it's money. You know, they can see, especially when there's so much money on offer in the leagues down south, to see what can happen if you take the leap of faith and come here. And just what you can achieve, and you know, all the tools are here for you to be able to kickstart your career or take yourself to the next level. This is what this football club does. And okay, I guess as supporters, we'd love to be able to hold on to every key player and see where it took us. But that is the model, and it's just because there's always players out there that can come in and are just looking for that leg up, and this club provides it.
And I noticed a very interesting tweet from Alan Burrows regarding the sale of Cedric Kiepe, and almost the way it was packaged, it was built up as a brand almost, and then that kind of inflates his profile, certainly across social media, across even as fans. I think we all kind of felt we were related to him through media work over the course of his year at the club. How important is that to kind of market your players in that fashion?
Oh, massively. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves too much here. I mean, the sale of Cedric Kiepe comes down, you know, a high percentage down to traditional scouting and word of mouth and just ability, frankly, from Cedric. But we've touched on it before. We feel that when there's personalities and players here that, to be celebrated, and it's not isolated to Cedric, that we always try and accentuate the positives. Cedric, come on, was the great example, the fan favourite who had the kind of quirky personality and little things you could always pick up on.
Good singer.
Yeah, great singer. But you know, you could accentuate these things, and statistically as well, we did a bit of things with him like that as well, pointing out that he was, you know, highest interceptions per 90 minutes in the league last season and was a statistical leader in many departments. But all these things are because the raw tools are there, and you promote what you have. And there's so many other players here that we've tried to do that with, and we'll continue to push. Having brands behind players sounds like marketing gobbledygook, perhaps, when you hear it. But when you break it down, it's not massively different from anything that's been done before. It's just trying to use the platforms that you have to accentuate the positives and deepen that and foster that connection between the supporters and the players beyond, before you get anywhere near the recruitment side of things.
So I think Grant's saying it was 90% his ability and 10% down to Grant.
You picked those numbers.
How aware are the players are, or how involved are the players in these things happening? Like you sent out those tweets about Cedric's numbers. Is he aware of it before he signed it?
No, I wouldn't have said. For most of the stuff, actually, we tend to kind of maintain that
his
kind
agent,
of surprise. I've never spoken to Cedric's agent in my life. Can't even tell you who he was. You know, it's purely a club-led thing, and you know, we'd remove the element of surprise if we tried to, like, Cedric, we hear you've got a new hairstyle, just whip that hat off and we'll get a quirk about it. I mean, these things happen mainly, or largely, things like that happen by chance. certainly very, very little's by design. It's about what these guys just initially present themselves. The players as a collective are aware of the image we try to portray as a club, the ethos we try to portray as a club, but beyond that, we just feed off of them. Mm-hmm. We don't get them in and have a 5-point plan of you must behave like this and you have to do these daft things. It's not like that at all. But they buy into what we do. If we ask them to do FIFA Challenge or Name That Tune or all the things we've done, they buy into it. And I think they can see that they have fun with it, but they also know that the fans will enjoy that as well. And they're very conscientious that way.
And another good example of that was the idea to return the shirts and provide a fresh shirt, but also have Cedric sign the old shirt, just as a kind of demonstration of his appreciation for the support and the club's appreciation for the support as well.
Absolutely, it's what this club is all about. You know, in any opportunity we can get to repay our fans' faith and support, you know, we'll take that opportunity. And with Cedric, it was absolutely the right thing to do, we felt. You know, you can't legislate for players going in the transfer window, but it was an opportunity to try and give something back. And, you know, because that's what this club is all about. You know, it's owned by its supporter, it's owned by you guys. So anything we can do to try and, you know, give something back when it's within our powers to do it, you know, we're there.
And it's a massive thing, isn't it, Craig? You're at a time where season tickets have been renewed. There's a lot of fixtures early on in the season as well, with the Betfred Cup that aren't part of the season tickets, summer holidays. So when you've shelled out, particularly for kids, shirts, sometimes 2, 3, 4 shirts, it can be a very expensive business. So this is a great gesture by the football club.
It's a really nice gesture. Like you say, the shirts don't come cheap. You're bringing out 2 new kits, and if you've got 2 kids at home or whatever, and obviously they want the latest shirt and the latest, or their favourite player, and a lot of kids' favourite player these days will be some Cedric Keepery. You know, back in my day it was always a striker and stuff, but I think a lot of kids nowadays, they, you know, you say Cedric's got that personality where he's got the funny hair and he's got the bit of, you know, flamboyance about him with the funny memes and stuff you'll have with him, etc. So yeah, it's a nice gesture, especially getting the signed one back as well. It would be nice enough to say bring your old kit back and we'll give you a new one and just swap one for one. That would have been a fantastic gesture on its own. To then keep the original one with it signed, it's just an extra obviously a touch of class, which I'm sure will be very much appreciated by those who have shelled out for the Keepery tops.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go back to a couple of months ago, Grant, when we spoke to you initially. You had a lot of plans, that the wheels were firmly in motion.
But I hope I didn't promise anything I'm going to under-deliver here.
Well, I don't think there is, and we'll only find out afterwards, I suppose. But the initial stages were the planning for the cup final, and I think I speak for us all when I say the excitement before the Scottish Cup final was unparalleled. We obviously had the League Cup final in the previous year, but the excitement for the Scottish Cup final was off the chart, and that was a lot to do with the build-up materials that were used. It must have been a fantastic thing to be part of.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't sell a cup final, then you're doing something wrong, I guess. I'd say the buzz around the whole place, the staff, the whole club, you know, the hype was there, and we just tried to tap into that, and we had done a bit of forward planning with trying to get access to good footage that was all kind of club filmed from the semi-final and been filming stuff here for promotional material, and, you know, and not just players, you know, capturing fan reactions. I mean, I think the great one after the semi-final is when you see the players go up to the clap with the supporters at the end, and it's just that little, it just captures that kind of moment perfectly, and that's the kind of things we wanted to do. And we were able to do a lot of that in the build-up to the cup final. We were able to hype up our image of this kind of tough tackling, you know, physical team out to get you. But, and that's through things, through music, through imagery, through the personalities and players we have. So yeah, it was, I mean, as you know, I'm not a Motherwell supporter by birth, but certainly it's by design from being here for 9 months. And I've been to cup finals with teams or been with the national team through highs and lows, but that Saturday night after the cup final was the sickest and the most horrible I've ever felt after a football match. And I mean, it's because Motherwell gets under your skin, but it's also the hype building up to that final as well. And we all genuinely believed we could do something.
Is that a danger when you're doing stuff to that scale, that you can maybe end up with a degree of egg in your face almost?
I don't know if it's egg in your face. I think you just end up feeling low for a few days. But no, you you have to, I said this already, but you have to accentuate the positives. And all right, I think it'd be an unfair criticism to say we hyped up the cup final too much or something like that. I'm applying that criticism myself rather than saying that you're throwing it across the table. But no. I think it can make you believe in something. And when you're facing a Celtic side of that calibre, belief is a large part. And I think I would like to think it rubbed off on players as well, going into the game as well. That helped just encourage that extra 5% of belief as well.
And that's the thing, Craig, I suppose when you've had that, it's almost X Factor type journey type scenario, but you do it, it's 2-3 weeks before it, you live and breathe that big event. Yes, the day of the game didn't go as we hoped. Still had an incredible day, mind you, but to come up short, I think we all felt that bit more a part of the club in the lead up to that game.
It was great. I changed my routine from the League Cup final. I was actually here at Fir Park before the game, in part of the Cooper Stand and the mountain, and having a beer in the stand, and the sun was shining, the Barnard Thieves were playing and stuff, and it was a brilliant atmosphere. It was a proper brilliant atmosphere, one that I thoroughly enjoyed. And we got the bus from Fir Park and we got the bus into Hampden. It was just a magical atmosphere. And one we don't get very often. Obviously, cup finals are very rare. We've been very lucky of two in one season. And it's a very rare thing. But I thought the way they built it up through Fir Park and got the local bands in, they got just the things outside, the sunshine, the sun was shining.
And we did that as well.
It was great.
We also
you got the weather sorted as well. it was magic.
Carried it on over.
And of course, the game itself was always going to be a tough ask. But, you know, you look at the two goals. One was a wonder strike from McGregor, and one took a big deflection as well. And you know, you had a bit of luck in days like that, and it didn't happen that day. But I think you take a lot of the positives from that, from off the park and also on it. But you know, we'll try again this year.
Thanks for triggering those memories. By the way, I'd forgotten.
That's actually the most we've talked about the cup final. I think we recorded about 3 weeks after it. Yeah. It was a season review. Another big thing that we talked about last time you were on was the website. The website was a disaster at that point in time. It couldn't handle more than two people being on it at the same time, and even then I don't know if one person could access it. I certainly couldn't. But the overhaul of that has been quite incredible, and it took its time. You've obviously worked so hard in getting every single detail right.
Yeah, and we're still working through as well, because you know, you're finding things all the time, and we're constantly saying, well, how can we improve this? You know, we're not just going to say, oh, there's a website, and then just go and find something else to do. You know, it was a process that went through a lot of planning, a good bit of research, and we all kind of sat down and said, what would we expect from a football club website? We surveyed, I think it was Well Society members, or maybe it was a broader base, asking them, what do you come to the Motherwell website for? And we listened to the audience research and the kind of website kind of user experience, if you like to coin that phrase, is largely geared around that, and it's geared around the match and the players primarily, and you can still access other information. It's all very important, but we just wanted to rethink how you do the football club website, because I think you go on some websites, and I'll talk about our previous one. You go on it, and basically everything the club does gets thrown at a homepage and sees what sticks, and it's very hard to find things and get a much of a meaningful experience out of it. So you know, we looked at all that and tried to rethink it. There's loads of nice little touches that we're very proud of. Again, trying to, you know, really highlight the players, highlight the matches. And, you know, we're still working through. People are coming to us with little, you know, bugs they're finding. Anyone listening, please get in touch. Just send us a message on Twitter, because we don't want you to just sit at home and go, oh, the new website's rubbish, isn't it? I've read on the forums. And I understand people's frustrations, because actually when you look at the little one or two niggles that you can have, you know, please tell us. You know, we're not a closed book. You know, we want to try and fix things and make it the best experience possible, because that's why we've made the investment in it.
And the joined up thinking is what I like about it, the fact that the Well Society, even the club shop, you go on a player's profile, you can click on a button to get the strip with their name in the back of it, just all kind of arms of the club in the one place, and it's all linking up.
And we're still on that journey, actually. I mean, I think we're only in the first phase of that, really, because, you know, further than, like, we want everything to look and feel precisely the same eventually. So, yeah, that's the kind of halfway house at the moment. And there'll be other kind of features getting rolled out shortly as well. We'll try and replicate that too. But no, we're kind of on a kind of medium-term journey to really kind of unify things. You know, what is the Motherwell Football Club? We talked this before, the Motherwell Football Club brand, and being it consistent, so you know you're on a Motherwell FC website and everything looks and feels the same.
And while this is all going on, there's season tickets to be sold, and I think for maybe 3 or 4 weeks we were all a wee bit sore, and maybe trying to avoid the reality that football was starting very quickly. The summer break, possibly the shortest that I can ever remember as a supporter. Straight back to it with the season tickets, and it was a very innovative idea in terms of the going to the steelworks. I hear there was some interesting stories from while we were there too.
And we were amazed. I mean, thanks initially to steelworks for, you know, buying into the idea. You know, to Liberty Steel for buying into the idea of bringing four footballers to a place of work where there's heavy machinery and you know, and obviously we went through all the kind of checks and balances, but you know, they bought into our idea, which is, you know, we feel that we, without trying to make this too much of, you know, a marketing spiel, we firmly believe, and we hope it's reflected in what supporters believe, that we have a team that, you know, really fight for everything, and you know, and it's an ethos that goes through us as people who are, you know, are from this town or work in this town. And the steelworks is obviously the kind of base of that from industry from 25, 30 years ago and going further back. So we wanted to tap into that. We wanted to say, well, you know, because, you know, the working class people who worked at the steelworks are a lot of, you know, still around, and you have that work ethic still in you, whether you work at the steelworks or whether you've gone on to a trade elsewhere. So we wanted to tap into that and say, look, this is a football club that still embodies the spirit of the local town. We're not detached from that. Steelworks is just visual imagery, isn't it? But it was nice to see Alan Campbell up a crane. That was their idea, by the way. I was never going to ask that in a million years. Can I put one of our players up? That was Liberty Steel's idea.
How did Alan feel about that?
Oh, you're loving it. Yeah. It was great. And, yeah, again, we go back to the players. I mean, to ask four players to go out to a steelworks of an afternoon and tell them the idea and for them to go along and actually, Richard Tate, I think all the players, but Richard Tate sticks out in my mind is, you know, actually engaging in conversations with the guys that were working there, like to, and Carl McHugh as well, get an education of, you know, the, you know, steel's history in this town and understand what it meant to people. And that just speaks volumes for the guys, really, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah, absolutely does. And Craig, you'll know, there's quite a lot of people that we've maybe drank with in the past that went to Fir Park for years and have now fallen away from it. I even think of your dad as a bit of an example of that, someone who was diehard Motherwell supporter that's fallen away from the game. When you see stuff like that, though, it's almost kind of bringing the club back into the town, feeling that bit closer to it, and it's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it has. You can tell it's been a big effort. You can tell, first and foremost. I think for a number of years that there was a bit of a detachment. I think when you move along the lines of the TV company comes in and the prices go up, and you do feel that bit of a detachment. You look at the English Premier League, for example, that's a tourist league now, for, you know, and we're never going to go that far, you know, that far to that side. But I think small efforts like going to your local steelworks, which represents Motherwell, etc., that's a little thing, putting it out there on Facebook and Twitter, etc., to try to reach out. So yeah, things like that matter. Whether it can bring people back, you'd like to think so. I think it could. I think it probably has. When you see a bit of engagement from the club to the fans, then that makes you feel a bit more important. If you're selling a brand, if you're selling a product, then you need to try and engage with the customer effectively, without using that horrible term as a football fan, a customer. But you know, that's what they're trying to do. And I like to see. I'm not fully aware of the figures of the season tickets, but whether they're up, I hope so, I think so. But yeah, it's a great effort, and it's good to see.
Well, I suppose you'll be able to clarify that, but the reports initially certainly were that
year on year. And we'll issue an update at the end of the week, but we'll do another push this week for people who are still to renew their seats, and anyone listening who hasn't renewed their seat, please. Hopefully through the online ticketing platforms you can find it nice and easy to do, and you know, come and reach out to us and talk to us, if you know, or come by the ticket office and let's try and make it I don't know if it would be a record breaking year. I'm not going to try and put myself on a hoisted by my own petard, but look, yeah, the initial indications after the early bird were, you know, we were well up, and it was, you know, exceptionally encouraging, and sales have been consistent and steady, and we'll have a wee teaser for an update later in the week, which should be really positive news, and it's absolutely fantastic. We're coming off the back of a great season, and I think there's a lot of optimism and faith in Stephen Robinson and the players to kick on again.
Yeah, and there's also the element of the two cup finals. You've got 15,000 Motherwell supporters at Hampden in May, and the frustration always is, where do they go fall in a cup final? It's what happens in football, there's no doubt about that. But I guess the aim of the football club is to tap into even a couple of thousand of them. It would be fantastic to see them.
Absolutely. I mean, let's not kid ourselves on. I mean, a lot of people who will go along to the cup final will be people who live in the town, and because it's such a great spectacle for the town, they'll go along for that. And, you know, and it could be family members who would never dream of going to football matches. Because they feel that sense of pride in their town, they'll go to games. But there is obviously a number contained within the figure as well that are maybe lapsed supporters or, you know, folk who have fallen out of love with it. And, you know, we'll continue to make efforts. And like I say, the last few months have been putting building blocks in place through new ticketing systems, new website, customer supporter databases, campaigns that we've done. That's the building blocks now. So it's about us kicking on and now being able to say, okay, we identify there are X number of people out there that we can say, you know, we'd love you to come back. And we want to consult with them, engage with them, rather than just, I think you can fall into a trap of, oh, we'll just reduce the ticket prices and hope you all come back. That's not the way to do it. We want to do it through meaningful conversation and engagement. And that's perhaps the next step over the next few months as we get through the season to look at, well, okay, how can we do that and how can we grow the supporter base more?
In the ticketing system, a challenge ahead is obviously Saturday in the first game. You've had the collections, which seem to be a fairly seamless process. Mm-hmm. Ordering online was a very straightforward process. Mm-hmm. Now it's just kind of seeing out these initial teething problems and hopefully getting off to a good start on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a big change for everyone to move to an online system, both internally and externally. And we've had great feedback from folks saying they found it really easy, and we've had people saying they've had some challenges along the way, so we've looked to address them and again, have conversations through social media or people who are dropping in and try and help get them familiar with the system. I've been in the ticket office quite a lot the last few weeks and speaking to folk when they've been collecting, and the fascination is always over the season ticket card. I've not heard any negativity. You know, I've not heard any people kind of say that they would miss a bit. I don't know, there'll be people out there, but, you know, it's us kind of moving with the times, and to be able to have that card, there's no danger of leaving your season book a bit behind in the house now. It can go in the wall.
I suspect I'll have lost it.
You know, it's a great thing to have, and to be able to, what it will mean for the club is to be able to do things like, you know, we can hopefully renew your, when there's cup games, we can just put that straight onto your card. And it might be at the end of the season, we decide we won't issue new cards, we'll just roll them onto next year. And that's obviously good for the club as well. I mean, that presents a potential cost saving for the club, you know, and the margins that we operate within, that could be a nice thing. But it's also just a great thing to have as well. And it's just that modernisation. And yes, we'll have the access control, as we call it here, for the in full operation for the Hamilton game at the weekend for home supporters. So what I will say, without trying to be boring about it, is please try and come along a little bit early. I mean, the actual process of getting into the ground is not really any different. You know, you were ripping out your book and handing it in. Well, now you're just handing your card and someone scanning it and you're away. It shouldn't slow down, but I mean, get along a wee bit earlier. Just come along, and because we're still getting familiar with things, and it just lets us get the scan and get everyone in the ground. But you know, it's all been tested. We tested it a bit at the Edinburgh City game and the feedback was good. So, you know, long may it continue.
And there's been a lot of introductions out with that. Things like the new scoreboard, they're now in operation. The stadium itself looks like it's
been
a lick of paint. Yeah. It generally looks very much improved. You've been in the job for 9 months, as you say now. You've two cup finals in that time, a busy pre-season. Is there any time to pause for breath? It must be constantly moving, and Motherwell have become slightly renowned for being ahead of the curve and being very, very innovative. That must be a challenge in itself to maintain that.
I would just like to say hi to my friends who haven't seen me for 7 months. Everyone here who does the job, and myself, guys in the media department, all through the club, you know, we all do it. Not for a job, it's out of the love of it. And you know, we were at Easterwood yesterday and the guys come back and they talk about the media department, and we're here to all hours producing the content that, you know, because we know that the supporters, you know, really get something out of it, and we love doing it as well. And when there's so much going on and there's so many positive things and so many things to get your teeth into, and there's even more things that are somewhere at the back of my mind that we'll get to eventually, no, there's not much time to pause for breath. But hey, what a good it's not a negative thing, is it? It's a good thing to be able to make wee investments that will really stand us in good stead for the future, and to be part of the team that are able to do all these kind of cool, innovative and really meaningful things for the club's future. It's not skin off my nose. I mean, I get up in the morning and I love coming into Fir Park, and I'm here till all hours and I go home and working again, and it's great. You know, I really, really love it, and when you see the reactions that we get for things we do, it just makes it all worthwhile.
And that's how, Craig, you think about just now, and we'll not mention this ever again in the podcast because I'm sick fed up of talking about it, but a time where there's a lot of naysayers about Scottish football, and it's almost siege mentality where Scottish football fans are sticking their fingers up to the leagues down south, but we're promoting our game a lot better, and certainly at Motherwell Football Club, they are promoting the game very, very well. That's something that will enhance the coverage. We moan about quite often Sky's coverage of the game being pretty dismissive. Even when they're showing live Scottish football, it's 10 minutes before it, 10 minutes after it. It's very slapdash and haphazard. But seeing these levels of commitment that's coming out of the football club, again, I keep on mentioning the positive, but it's a massive positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you look at Motherwell, like you say, probably ahead of the cover, most of them, but there's a lot of positive stories about them. Like, look at Hibs, who we played yesterday. You know, they had a couple of years of being in the Championship and things weren't great, but they've turned that around. They're now in European football. They're now positive, selling huge amount of season tickets. Look at Hearts coming back after a difficult year under Cathro as well. Aberdeen and pushed Burnley all the way on Europe. You know, that puts a positive light on Scottish football as well. But I hate the comparison to English football. It's apples and oranges. It's two different planets. It's irrelevant in my opinion. So we should never compare it to England. I hate that comparison. We should always, let's say, focus on the positives. That's the main thing. We are where we are. You know, I think you've seen stats that per, you know, the population, the most percentage of football fans go to football, you know, per population than any other country in Europe. So we are a passionate football loving country. So let's embrace it. Let's just, you know, we have what we have. It's fantastic.
Just to pick up on your point of what you're saying about other people do for us, I mean, we have great partners in Sky and BT and, you know, even other broadcasters and newspapers who, you know, do a great thing in talking up Scottish football and covering our club and covering the wider game. But what I will say for any club is the onus is on us to promote this football club, not anyone else. You should never be reliant on media from anywhere else to say what you're good at and highlight all the good things going on. And that's really kind of, you know, we have great relationships with media, and we always, you know, facilitate and have events so we get, you know, wider coverage of our club. But the onus is very much on us to push what is great about Motherwell Football Club. It has to come from within. If you rely on other people, that's when you end up in that vacuum of Scottish football is rubbish.
I think, while I agree with that, I think, though, there's been a lot of loud voices from down south that have been fairly uneducated in their assessment of Scottish football as well. Certain people that possibly should know better because they were involved in the game, whether it be 10, 15 years ago, and have now changed it. So do you not feel there is a bit of a battle almost to kind of maintain that positive voice and promote everything because of the...
No.
The dark clouds from...
I try not to pay heed to it. Of course you do. You see it's out there, and I love how it galvanises everyone in Scottish football. Well, if there's the one thing that unifies us...
We're hugely engaged about our own game, particularly on social media and things like that. I think the whole country was behind Aberdeen the other day.
Absolutely.
Not a club I particularly like, but they were playing Burnley. I think everyone was right behind them, kind of hoping that Scottish football would...
If you listen, this applies to life. If you listen to people who want to criticise you at every turn, and you don't really do anything about it, and you've got no one telling you the opposite, you believe it. So the onus is then on us to push what's actually good. And you know, we're not putting gloss on it. You know, this is not English Premier League levels of production for Motherwell Football Club, and you know, we portray it as something that it's not. You know, this is real. You know, what we put out is what you get at this football club, and yeah, it looks great because actually it's a great place to be with good players and good fans and good staff. You have to push your own agenda. positively. And as Scottish football as a whole, I think we're starting to see more and more that we're doing that. And yeah, okay, anyone who wants to level criticism tends to get a reaction. But at the same time, there's 90% compared to 10%, we're actually pushing our own game, and we know that the product we have as Scottish football as a whole is unique. It's ours. You know, we get a laugh out of it. You know, it's something that, whereas the English Premier League, you know, still has passionate, engaged supporters at club level, but it can also be, you know, a league for tourists or for big TV companies. But the Scottish football is the kind of, I think, I'm ripping off Graham McGarry in the Herald here, I think it's the down your pub with your mates, you know, kind of, you know, league. You know, it knows what it is, and it's just real, and it's fun, and it's something that unifies us all. And I'm glad that as a Scottish football collective, we've suddenly stopped listening to the people who want to tell us our league's a load of rubbish. You know, we'll say if our league's rubbish. Thanks very much. You know,
and you've got to think, if you can ever say earlier, but you're promoting your own thing. It's up to you to promote your own thing, and that's absolutely bang on. The certain Scottish English based journalist that you're referring to now, he's working for a radio station, and he knows putting that, you know, light in the paper for that is going to get.
It's got a reaction out of you, hasn't
it? A reaction, and he has a radio station, and he has Twitter feed. He's done his job, effectively. Whether he thinks that's true, whether he thinks it's not true, is irrelevant. He's got to wait. Promotion's done.
See, at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't.
You believe in what you want to believe.
You've got to praise St Mirren on Saturday for starting their game 5 minutes early, just to kickstart the banner 5 minutes before the season was actually due to start. That's that was impressive stuff. When we were talking about putting out a positive message, we've done the story of the matches, you've introduced that over the last two games, then the third match was a loss, the first time that you've had to do a story of the match following a defeat.
Where's this going?
Well, firstly, they're fantastic. Thank you. You were there to 1 o'clock in the morning, what you've told me, doing the one for Hibs. How do you avoid the scrutiny of potential, we got humped through nothing and you're putting out this fancy video? I think what I was pleased to see was that this isn't going to be something that's only done after a win, because we're Motherwell Football Club, we'll lose plenty of games over the course of the season. It would be nice if that wasn't the case, but of course it's more likely than it's not. You've then got to package up the 90 minutes in a way that has the supporters thinking, well, I'm quite looking forward to Hamlet Naki's in 6 days' time, because it's a game the supporters look forward to, but there will be a few who woke up this morning pretty downbeat about where the next 37 games are going to go.
Yeah. And I better say, Ali Riley did the first two, one, and he was up to probably 1, 2, 3 in the morning, so I better get in. I'm not going to be a martyr to my own cause when I didn't do the first two. You know, the Hibs one's funny, because I went home, we had two people in doing the filming for us, and they give you the cards at the end of the game, and I took them home last night, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to watch this back and see what's what. And I actually came out of it, when I laid down the whole game, this was no smoke and mirrors. This was actually, in this game, it was like, actually, you know what, when you actually break it down and look at what we're doing, especially towards the end of the game, you just tell a true story. And what we did last night, and when we put out today, was tell the true story of the match. Sometimes that might be a bit ugly, but, you know, it's difficult to square the thoughts with story of the match in my head, because all we want to do is show the game that we have played in the best positive light. And I don't mean like go North Korea and say we won 1-0. It's almost, you know, it's just short for what it was. And what story of the match yesterday did was took you behind the scenes. It gave you camera angles that you don't get from television companies. It highlighted the supporters who are, you know, suffering through the match. It showed you the players suffering through the match, and the reactions and the drive and grit and determination. All we want to do is show the match, whatever happens, in its kind of rawest and purest form, in a way that you don't get from any other media. And that's the only way I can really try and sum up what story of the match is. And, you know, we'll take it as it comes. Of course, we had a discussion in the drive back yesterday. It's like, well, we've lost 3-0. Do we do story of the match? And it's like, yeah, we do. And we just, because it's at the end of the day, it's another highlights package. I mean, you don't go, all right, we'll lose against 3-0. Well, let's just go home and forget the highlights. You know, let's just not bother with anything. So I don't know if there's more challenges to come, But I think it's been very well received, hasn't it, guys? I mean, it's just different.
I don't know if it's too early to tell. Do you find the numbers for a defeat mark a different to one for a...
I don't know. I mean, I think it was sitting at 2,000 this afternoon when we put it up. The first one from memory did 30,000, but then there was a lot of sharing around Scottish football going, oh, look at this.
Yeah.
But I think the game next, which would have been Clyde. It was maybe around the 15,000 mark, which is, you know, is still incredible, you know, numbers for a football club like ours. We'll see how this one pans out. What always gets me when I go on Facebook and Twitter, folks going, oh, there's you in that video, so that always help as well. I mean, kind of all the content we do, we're not really wanting to be in a numbers game, if you like. It's about creating good content that folk, you know, engage with. You know, they like it, they'll reply to it, they'll share it with their friends, and, you know, we do incredible numbers in that regard here. I mean, for a club of our size, I'm sure I've said this publicly before, but we have this kind of internal target of getting 500,000 people to watch our videos every month, and we have other targets of engagements that I won't necessarily share. And we hit that without fail. I mean, in July, 1.1 million people watched our videos across social media platforms, and that was just the ones that were published in that month. If you look at us comparatively to other clubs in terms of the engagements as a percentage of followers, you know, we're probably Scotland's leading club, if not second or third. And it shows you what we can achieve here with, you know, it's a bit of drive and you know, the great stories that we can tell, you know. And I hope that all Motherwell fans enjoy it, because actually, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's for the enjoyment, and it's to portray this experience that you can have if you come and watch Motherwell Football Club to try and attract other people.
It must be nice, quite a nice feeling as well when you see the likes of Hibs, who have incorporated a similar style of video for their European games as well. So that's almost a token of recognition of the work that's going on here that's inspiring other clubs. And you've never kind of claimed to have invented the wheel, and I'm sure someone maybe did a story of the match elsewhere.
Of course.
But to see it kicking on into other clubs, it's only a good thing, surely.
I don't know if we've given inspiration to anyone. If we have, then fantastic. I'm, you know, that's obviously great. Kudos to us if we're inspiring other people. But ultimately, all we want to do is make Motherwell Football Club look the best it is. And we want Scottish football to be portrayed in the best light possible. So, I mean, in fairness, there's been one or two other clubs who've come to us and say, oh, how are you achieving that with what you have, and what are the tricks, what equipment do you have? And, you know, we're not closing the door on them. We have conversations because we want to try and, without trying to be this kind of holier than now, we want to try and encourage as much as possible and pass on expertise and pass on, because we just want Scottish football to look the best. And there's certainly no competition if a club comes out tomorrow and does story of the match that looks exactly the same, then great, because does it look good? Is it making Scottish football look great? Fantastic. Then it's win-win all round.
And hopefully it makes us win 3-0 this time.
That would be nice as well.
We'll move on to finish up and look at the derby on Saturday, Craig. Alan Campbell and Barry Maguire will be back in the reckoning. Alan Campbell, particularly, a massive loss. I hate the fact that suspensions carry over season on season. Mm. Just, particularly Barry Maguire's, I couldn't understand, given he was sent off in the Youth Cup, played towards the end of the season, and then was suspended.
It's quite convoluted. It's calculated on how many games you played or were involved in for the two separate teams across the course of the season. So your recognised team, if you like, is who you were on a team line with most. And I think it edged out, he was on the bench or featured for the first team one game more than he did for the 20, so that's his recognised team. So there you go. There's an explanation, there's a science.
It still doesn't make any sense, but let's... Alan Campbell, there's no doubt, a massive part of our team, and
yes,
it'll be a real boost to get him back on Saturday.
I think he's definitely back in the midfield. I think there's no question about that. I think looking at the back four that started against Hibs, you think about the back three that ended last season, you'd keep pre-ordered and done. None of them are available, obviously for various reasons. So we obviously have to try and, whether we stick with the back to the back three, obviously McHugh has played there in the Betfred Cup. Whether we do that again, obviously we went in a second half and changed the formation, I think, well. I think without doubt Campbell comes back in. I think we talked to earlier, Danny Johnson's put his hand up and said, look, I'm, you know, right up there, I should be in the plane. So I think potentially I could see him as well. I think first and foremost it'll be a battle. We think we know how Hamilton play, we know how we play, so it's going to be a physical game, it's going to be a battle. I think we showed at the end of last season that if we, you know, we can, on our day, we can beat them comfortably. they beat us over there as well, so it's going to be a tough game. But I think both teams will be looking, after disappointing first day results, both teams will be up for it. But I think if we play to our maximum, our potential, then I think we've got enough to get 3 points.
And there's no hiding place, it's two teams that got the worst results in the first weekend. But a Lanarkshire derby, first home game of the season, where there's generally a boosted crowd, you'd expect the exact same on Saturday. It'll be a fiery one, and you just kind of hope that we can come out the traps quickly, take the game to them. We're very solid at home over the course of the past season, something that was a bit of a bugbear, that we weren't performing very well on our fantastic home pitch, but we've now got a chance to make a positive start and kind of put the game, Habs game, right out of our system.
Yeah, obviously there were games last season, even towards the end of the season, we think St Johnson came here and turned us over comprehensively, and then you maybe at the back of your mind start to worry, and then the recovery is, you know, a couple of great results after that, including one against Hamilton. There will always be results where, you know, you maybe come out of it thinking, oh no, you know, what lies ahead. But I think this team, and remember the absolute core of this squad, you know, has been maintained. The managers here, the same style of play, the same ethos. It's a team that bounced back from, you know, disappointment, and to have Hamilton up next is obviously just extra incentive. And, you know, the Lanarkshire derby sometimes isn't given the kind of prestige that it should in wider circles, but you know, we try and push that, and every player in here, you know, talks about the derby, you know, and it matters. And, you know, it's not just a game against Hamilton, the players buy into it and know what it means to the supporters, and it just gives them an extra bit of an edge.
There'll be certain degrees of uncertainty, Craig, with the English window shutting midweek. Stephen Robinson hinting that he wants to improve his squad, to hope to have a few extra faces in by Saturday.
I'm not sure what it'll be before Saturday. I think we can obviously bring players in up until the 31st, I might say. So obviously with English teams that have closed their squads as of Thursday night, then I think you'll see over the couple of weeks up to the end of the month that players that are surplus to requirements down south, you might see that the opportunities then there for us to go in. So I don't think, I could be totally wrong, but I can't see much movement coming in before Saturday. But obviously we've got an extra couple of weeks that we can do that. So we'll see how it goes.
And that tends to be the way of things, Grant, doesn't it? That English teams establish their squads, and then there'll be guys that are available on loan deals, perhaps available for minimal fees. And that's for Martin Foyle and the manager to scoop these guys up. And
absolutely, and, you know, and they'll already know there's guys that they could maybe push the button on tomorrow. They'll know there's guys that are maybe just waiting to see what happens at their respective clubs before deadline. And I know there's guys that are potentially available on loan, you know, once that window closes as well. And it's just about not rushing into things, not panicking. It's about, you know, maintaining that same level of consistent, cool-head recruitment. Remember, we did a recruitment exceptionally early this year, and that was, you know, months and months of planning, identifying targets that they went out and got. And just suddenly because one player leaves doesn't mean, you know, we're suddenly scrabbling about. You know, they know the kind of player that they're looking for, and they know they're in the marketplace to, you know, looking at a good few, I'm sure, to then be able to bring some in. And how quickly that happens, we just have to wait and see, because it comes down to many more factors rather than just I'd like to sign you.
Yeah, and it's been a bit different this season already. The injuries weren't something that really hampered us until the back end of last season. Now you've got a situation where you've got 3 or 4 very important players ruled out for up to 6 weeks with Ryan Bowman, Craig Tanner back hopefully next month, Charles done a longer term one. It's a difficult start when you've built your squad and prepared over the summer months as shrewdly as Stephen Robinson had done.
I think obviously the manager mentioned throughout the summer that he was looking to build big out the squad, and he talked about the 12 to 18 numbers a lot. I think often when you get injuries like this, that's where you hope these guys will come in and do something to merit, you know, as going out and buying them. I don't think if you're getting guys out for maybe 6 weeks, 7 weeks, I don't think that's really a reason to go into the market and bring in a guy for 6 months to cover it. I think you've got a squad there. We've got, in my opinion, a good couple of youngsters coming through as well. So I think we've got the numbers now. Hopefully these guys can come in and show their worth. And let's say, if we're losing 2 or 3, I'm fairly confident we've got a squad now that can come in. Guys like David Turnbull, Barry Maguire, showed at the end of last season that they're there as well, that can come in and do a good job. So I'm comfortable that these guys can come in and improve their worth.
You'd only looked at December last year when you lost a couple of, I can't remember the exact numbers, it was quite an extensive list actually. And when the players dropped out, the manager always talking about who he can bring in. And actually, when you look at losing having three defenders unavailable for Sunday there, Barry Maguire, Charles Dunn and Cedric Kiprey. And even then, if I had said to you this, you know, in December last year, oh, your back three can be Peter Hartley, Liam Donnelly and Carl McHugh, you wouldn't have thought, oh no, we're significantly weakened.
Oh,
that's a starting defence. You know, so, well, I know Carl obviously dropped in, but, you know, it's encouraging even then with those losses. And we're still talking, you know, perhaps bringing another central defender in. The depth is there in the squad. And I think when guys like Danny Johnson especially, Alex Gorin, and others settle in, you'll really start to really see the benefits of, you know, having that extra. And young guys obviously still hungry as well. David Turnbull and James Scott on the bench at the weekend as well, and just, you know, there to take their opportunity when it comes.
And he certainly doesn't seem like the kind of manager that would push a panic button on the back of one result and a few injuries, because we have prepared them that way and built up the squad. Should injuries or should key players like Cedric Kiprey be tempted elsewhere?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you don't change a winning formula. You know, I don't think anyone's going to push any panic buttons here. I think it's a team that have shown time and again, even when they didn't have this 12 to 18 as keeps getting mentioned, that could still turn around, you know, in times of adversity and get good results. And I think when the squad gets more and more settled, you'll start to see it more and hopefully a couple more in as well, just to keep those levels up.
Guys, thank you both very much for your time tonight. It's been much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the MSC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye. Far from the electric flow.